2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Welcome back, everybody, to the DFS Army flagship podcast, Geeks Vegas Lines. This is your buddy Chopadong. I'm the host and your bankroll management specialist here in the DFS Army. My cohort in crime is the one, the only, the founder of the DFS Army, Kevin, a.k.a. Fancy Football Geek. Real short intro tonight. We're going to get busting here. We've obviously got a lot of stuff to talk about in a short period of time to do so. So I'll spare you all of the banter and jargon and all of the witty stuff I try to pull off on a regular basis. Jump right in, ask Kevin how he's doing, and we'll see where we go from here. What's up, Kevin?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
I'm fine.
I'm extra good.
Crazy
because
night,
I'm extra good because one of our own this week, and we've got a little bit of a competition going within the DFS Army between the NFL crew and the NBA crew. And one of our own this week, Conrad, took down $50,000 in the Millie Maker, coming in fourth place. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty awesome.
That's a second and a fourth for us this year.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest was the $150,000 back in, I think, week six, but I'll take a $50,000 fourth place finish any week.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the NBA crew put up a $100,000 win this week. So they got us.
But, well,
oops.
They get more shots at it. Their schedule is bigger.
It does feel like they have a little bit of an unfair advantage there. I do agree.
They get more games.
Absolutely.
They get like eight times the games we get. So, you know what? Whatever. We'll let those losers have their party in the sun for a minute, and then we'll come back over to the NFL, which we know drives the world in DFS. It's all about the NFL all the time. So the NBA guys can suck it.
Yeah. No, I love NBA too, though. I'm down with it.
Of course. You've become hooked, man.
It's hard not to be hooked when DFS is fun when you're winning, and it's just fun when you're winning. So, you know, with the domination station, the projections, Keith's advice, and Mitch's stuff, and Al's stuff, and the advice, it's just good. It's been awesome. So, yeah.
No, yeah. Absolutely. Becoming 100%. That's what I was actually going to say.
Yeah,
it's like you said, with the tools. With the tools you offer, it's pretty simple to get versed in NBA very quickly. So if people aren't if they don't have plans after the NFL season wraps up here in what, another 4 or 5 weeks? I mean, we're almost done, dude.
I know. It's bittersweet. I just love football, and I love football season and all this great stuff. But then, you know, the break is good too. So it is what it is. It's a great time of year. I love that it's half the year.
Well, I will tell you this. I'm glad that I could join you tonight. I hope everything went well last week. I was largely unplugged due to family being in town. We hosted Thanksgiving and stuff. Hope yours went well. Hope everybody else's went well. And tonight, of course, as you know, I got bombarded last minute with a bunch of high school cheerleaders coming over and taking over my house for some choreographed routine. That was really, really interesting to harken back to the days of yore and realize what my priorities were way back when it was all about dancing and music and whose party are we going to on Friday night before all the real world responsibilities kicked in. That was very interesting to listen to the conversations.
Wait a second. You're telling me you were going to parties on a Friday night? Because I'm thinking more Dungeons and Dragons in your buddy's basement.
No, I wasn't quite that big of a nerd. We at least played pool and went to We played pool and listened to triple play rock and roll weekends, and we went to Taco Bell to settle up all of our bets afterwards. So we were like slightly off chalk losers. Let's put it that way.
And there we go. A little plus EV.
Yes, but I was not a partying. I was social, but I was not a partying type. I was always some kind of a numbers/trivia nerd. That's been the MO since the day I could walk. So, what are you gonna do?
Hey, man, that's why we do this. If I was a great athlete, winning in sports and doing all that, I might not have had the drive and the desire to at least win at fantasy sports.
There you go.
I think that has something to do with it. All right, let's get right into this slate here. It's a good slate.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me set you up with that Thursday night game. Thursday night, this one, it actually is intriguing to me. Washington at Dallas. It's a close spread. It's a middle-ish total of 45 points. It's only a one-point spread. So to be honest with you, this one feels like it could go back and forth. I know it's the second meeting of a division rival and whatnot, but without Zeke, I mean, is this – fade the, you know, play the slate, fade the game, or is this, are you, you're not maybe going to load up on this one, but surely you're going to take a player or two if you take that whole slate, right?
I mean, there are plays that I like in the game, but I mean, let's start with just what the hell's going on with Dallas. I mean, Zeke came out, you know, Zeke went down, and all of a sudden they forgot how to play football completely. And Dak now looks like just terrible. The offensive line is awful. This was the best offensive line in football. One guy gets hurt, and all of a sudden, they're collapsing 6-8 sacks a game. I don't know what the hell's going on over there, but I got to tell you, if I'm playing to get into the playoffs in my season-long league, I'm having a lot of second thoughts about putting Dak out there, even in a home game against you know, a team in Washington that's, you know, doesn't stand out against you know, defensively, really, at anything. I mean, they're okay. They're not a standout team, so I don't know what the hell's going on with Dallas. It's really, really.
They've got a little bit of red on the research station just to fill you in, but I mean, yeah, most of it's middling.
Yeah, it's not. It's nothing shut down. It's nothing too much. But you know, there's a couple of plays in this game that I'm interested in. Obviously, it's a Thursday game, and we want to approach those with caution. Although I will say, between the Monday Thursday game, this was the one I was going to loading up on as in a two game slate. But
let me ask you this too, because I don't think a lot of people are thinking about this. One thing we have to realize is both these two teams played on Thanksgiving, so they're still on 7 days rest right now.
Oh yeah, this is a full prep week for these teams, and like I said, I'm really not trusting Dak at all. So I don't have any problem. There's nothing super exciting about the Dallas offense in this particular game. It's actually a slate I would suggest people get involved in, just to, you know, get involved in the slate. And the Thursday through Mondays, oddly, tend to have lower scores because people don't adjust their lineups as often as you would think, right? So it's a really interesting phenomenon where if I'm making a lineup in the Thursday to Monday slate, I usually just leave it, right? And then I move on to my Sunday slates and I kind of forget about the Thursday. But a lot of new information, part of the reason I do my Geeks Picks and the VIP stuff really late in the week, like on Friday, is because a lot of new information comes out. And so it's odd, but you'll see lower scores in the Thursday to Monday game. And if you're a sharp player, what you could do is set a couple of lineups for that and just be ready to modify them as new information comes out. Now, with this particular game, there's a couple of plays that I really like a lot. You got to like Jameson Crowder for Washington. Dallas has no one who can cover anybody. You got to like Cousins. You got to like Samaj Perine. You got to like that's about it. I don't trust, you know, Vernon Davis after the disaster last week. I don't really trust the other. I mean, Doxson, sure. Is he cheap enough? On some sites, maybe. He's playable. He hasn't had that big game yet. But Dallas can't cover anybody. Their defense is just terrible. So across the board, you just want to attack Dallas with whatever offense is playing them. I think it's
how much you like Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, I like Kirk Cousins a lot. I don't know, you know, I'm not looking at the salaries for the Thursday game right now, but I like Kirk Cousins a lot in general. I think he's going to be one of the better plays on the slate in general. And why not? Every quarterback that's faced Dallas has just been destroying putting up crazy points. So there's no reason to think that this will be any different. They should put up a lot of points. Why not? So yeah, I like Cousins, close game, lots of passing. Jameson Crowder seems to be the number one wide receiver. Samaje Perine has no competition for touches. I will be all in on that guy. And like I have been for the last few weeks, I can't believe I'm saying this guy's name so much.
Well, I know I'm not going to shy away from using him either. He's certainly not too terribly expensive. So.
No, he's the right price.
That helps.
He's the right salary. And you know what? Give me a guy against Dallas, going to get all the touches? Sure. Sure, I'll take that. He's going to get passing game work? Yeah, I like that too. So Not a game you have to stay away from. Not a game you have to stay away from. But what I do suggest is be prepared as more information hits. You know, I'm not touching the Dallas offense. Even if they do well, this is a full slate. Why would I mess with a team that's in, like, been horrible for a few weeks? And they're not priced cheap enough to really say, oh, it's a bargain play. And it's kind of like the Hunt play last week where I was screaming, don't play him, don't play him. You know why? Because the sites hadn't brought his salary down to a level that entices me to play a game flow dependent running back. He's priced like a game flow independent running back. Screw that. Even if he does have a big game, big shit. There's five other studs at the same price level that should have just as good of a game. Why would I pay up for him? I want to pay up for guys who are more secure, more likely, less dependent on certain game flows. So I feel the same way about the Dallas offense. Like, yeah, maybe they'll snap out of it, but I don't know. And even if they do, are they going to be the highest scoring? Like, is Dez going to be the highest scoring wide receiver? I doubt it. The guy hasn't put up more than 20 points all season. Like, Dak is not an over 30-point quarterback. No one can hurt me on Dallas. So I'm comfortable fading them.
Sounds fair to me. Let's move on. Let's go into the Sunday games and do Detroit versus Baltimore in Baltimore, obviously. This is a lower total, 40 points, 3-point spread favoring Baltimore. I just am not a fan of this game. So other than maybe the Baltimore defense, who I believe over the last 4 weeks, Baltimore's defense is like the third or fourth highest scoring fantasy defense. I mean, granted, they pitched a shutout in there. Anybody else that you like in that game? I mean, on a full slate, like you said.
I'm going to tell you, I don't even like Baltimore defense there because the Lions are not the team that you want to put a defense in against. But there's very little to like here. I'm looking at maybe like a Danny Woodhead just for the fact that it's mainly because Collins might be hurt. And if Collins is out of the game, I think Woodhead will get a lot of run. You know, they still bring in Buck Allen, but he's limited in what he can do. So I think that's interesting, I guess, a little bit. Have to check his price point to see if there's serious interest there, but at least it's somewhat interesting. But in general, no, this game looks ugly. Detroit's pass defense is one of the best in the league right now. They might be number one. And not Detroit, I'm sorry, Baltimore. And yeah, Baltimore, okay. So, you know, according to one of the ADVP numbers I'm looking at here, you know, they're number three overall. That's not the defense to attack through the air. So I really don't want – I love MJJ. He's been great, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, you know, I'll take a pass. And in this situation, I don't need to target a guy in a very difficult matchup. And there's just not a whole else to like on the Detroit side at all. You know, the wide receivers are the only thing. Stafford's a very, very game flow dependent, very matchup based, very home better at home than away. I'm just staying away from the whole game. No interest.
To confirm what you were saying about the DVP numbers against Baltimore. Baltimore allows the second fewest points to the quarterback, the fourth fewest points to the wide receiver one, the second fewest points to the wide receiver two, and the third fewest points to any other receiver you throw out there other than a tight end. As is usual, when you've got good corners, they funnel it into the middle. So maybe there are some tight ends in play here, but I don't trust Watson or Ebron either one. It's just a puke game for me.
Ebron, you know, Ben, these are not guys that are winning you GPPs or winning your cash games, and that's what I'm interested in. So, you know, what ifs?
Sounds good. Let's move to one where I am interested to get your thoughts on one. San Francisco and Chicago up at Soldier Field. 40.5-point total. Again, another low one. 3-point spread sounds identical to the one we just described. This time home team is favored in Chicago. I personally believe this is one of the few spots on the year where Jordan Howard is actually sort of script positive. So I'm actually intrigued to use him. I don't know price-wise how he's going to match up with some of the other guys, but it looks like a workload back. It looks like 20-plus touches in this game. It looks like somebody who, when he gets the volume, can do some damage. So I'm really interested to hear your thoughts. I mean, outside of that, am I touching anyone other than maybe a Carlos Hyde on the other side? Probably not. So largely off the game. But I am kind of excited about Jordan Howard.
I mean, yeah, and you're right. I agree with you. I have not played Jordan Howard very much or at all this season, generally because I don't tend to gravitate towards running backs that don't catch passes. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, San Francisco is one of the worst teams in the league against the run. They give up a ton of points to running backs. Howard's in play. I mean, you can't say anything else. The guy is usable here. Now, there's a couple interesting things going on. Who's going to be the quarterback? Is it going to be Garoppolo? Because it might be. Garoppolo's good. It might be Garoppolo. Now, Chicago on the road is no special defense either. So, you know, on the flip side, I don't mind my man Carlos Hyde in this spot. I think he's undervalued, and he should do really well. He's generally been underpriced all season, but in this matchup in particular, where his team should stay in the game, and Chicago is not going to, like, run away with anything, to where the game flow will get away from Hyde. Now, Hyde had I think he had a bad week last week, and even with that, he put up 14 points. You know,
he catches passes.
He catches, last week, 13, now, 13 targets, 7 receptions. Now, that was against Seattle. Now, I do want to say one thing with Hyde. What we don't know, and there's the mystery of how will he react with Garoppolo. I'm assuming Garoppolo is going to play. How's that going to go? How's their connection going to look? But from a everything else perspective, the guy gets targeted a ton. He's getting lots of run. This is supposed to be a close game. This is not a quality defense that they're facing, but rather, you know, a mediocre one. And I'll give you the number here. Well, they're pretty good against the run. Top 10. But even so, this is a road game. Yeah, this is a road game. And Hyde is being thrown to a ton. I like him. I like him. I think he's one of the better values on the board.
So I was looking salary-wise. You got Jordan Howard at 7,500 on FanDuel, Carlos Hyde at 7,000, so he's a little bit cheaper. Really, the difference that I'm noticing is, like you said, that top 10 matchup for Carlos Hyde versus what is the worst, apparently, matchup, or I guess best for the running back in Jordan Howard. So would you take that? I know we typically go volume over matchups and stuff like that, but in this situation where they're both going to get some volume, but Hyde maybe has the floor with the receptions and whatnot. They're both goal line used backs and whatever. And I just see, would you favor a matchup in a spot like this and go for the guy in the smash spot? Or still favor Hyde with kind of like game logs and the fact that if the script does get away from them, then Howard's kind of useless?
It's a tough question, right? Because neither one, you know, I kind of look at Howard as more of a FanDuel play, and Bell normally is more of a DraftKings play. But also, there's a second part to this, which is, you know, yeah, I think Hyde is more like Howard is more likely to score the tutties. So on FanDuel, you know, I do think Howard has a little more touchdown equity, but maybe not that much. Like I said, Hyde is at home. He's got Garoppolo under the helm, a more competent quarterback, supposedly. And I think we haven't seen it, but supposedly we haven't seen him in this. We saw him a little bit last week. He looked good, but you know, I don't accept anything I don't accept anything. You know, let's see it. But
I live 1,500 miles away from you, and I saw the air quotes. Supposedly.
Yes, supposedly. Right. So, you know, I don't automatically accept that somebody's good or whatever. He's supposedly better. We'll see. But yeah, I think I like Hyde on both situations better. Hyde is a guy I play sometimes, and Howard isn't a guy I never play. So, you know, I usually have a reason for that. And I'm, you know, a lot of times I'm wrong when I think of a guy, you know, I never play a guy. But I mean, there's other values that are so much better that, I mean, I really hope Jamal Williams gets another full run this week, because free square.
Yeah, that was going to be the other question for me, is this a game that we're spending way too much time debating two running backs on a full slate we shouldn't even be debating at all?
Well, just because Jamal Williams is there, and if he plays free square, why would you play anyone else? But I don't know. All right, I don't know. Right now, I think Hyde is, it, you know, on DraftKings, remember, you have the flex, so you got to get three of these guys in there.
Right, I guess that's true. How about Minnesota at Atlanta in the Dome? 47.5 point total, which is obviously better than what we've been talking about so far. Again, 3-point spread to the home team, Atlanta Falcons. This game intrigues me only because high-ish total, closer spread. Minnesota's been pretty good with Case Keenum, Adam Thielen, all those guys. I know that Atlanta has fairly decent DVP numbers against these guys when I was looking earlier this week. And Minnesota's a good defense in its own right, yet Matt Ryan, Julio Jones had a week from hell last week. We've been waiting for that all year. It sounds like Devontae Freeman is out of protocol, so that ruins the Tevin Coleman experience.
Coleman experience was going to be ruined by Minnesota defense anyway, but yeah, no more Atlanta running backs this week.
So what are you looking at in this game? I just have a feeling that this game, Vegas is kind of predicting some kind of a shootout, and both these offenses seem pretty good, and only the Minnesota defense is typically one that I worry about. So I just kind of wonder, could it happen?
I definitely think there's a shootout possibility here because these are two offenses that are playing pretty well right now. Atlanta's defense has been pretty good, and Minnesota's defense has been pretty good across the board. So it's important to know. But I think Adam Thielen at this point he's almost unstoppable. Something about what he's doing, the way they're using him, he's just got a little bit of a little something special going on, and I think you got to just keep rolling with that. He's got something special going on because the dude has been unstoppable. It's a road game where, like, you know, at home Minnesota might just like rely on the run and do, but it's a road game. You know, there's a chance that the Falcons kind of keep it close. I think on the Falcons side of it, you can't touch those running backs. Too many of them. Mohamed Sanu is in play again, especially with Xavier Rhodes shadowing Julio. I don't think Julio is in another blow-up spot like last week. You know, we knew last week because of the matchup that this was as good of a spot as Julio was going to see all season, kind of like Jamal.
Yeah, he also finally blew up. I mean, it's like I've seen him disappear in spots like that because they don't even freaking throw it to him. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's in a mismatch like crazy, and they don't give it to him anyway.
He hasn't done it this year. He gets hurt. But actually, the numbers for him were not bad all season. He just hadn't been scoring touchdowns, which, you know, the touchdowns takes you on FanDuel or DraftKings from those 12s, 14s, 16-point, hey, pretty good weeks to the 22s, the 29s, and the 35-point weeks. So that's what a touchdown does.
It's also the Michael Thomas effect this year.
Yeah, Michael Thomas just has not scored any touchdowns. So this guy's been fine. He's been putting 13, 14 points up PPR. You know, in FanDuel, 12, 11, 13 points. That's just not going to do it. You know, 14 points.
Price.
Not without the touchdowns. You need guys that score touchdowns, especially on FanDuel. So, I think Julio's not in a blow-up spot. But I like the Minnesota offense here a little bit more. Even though, again, Atlanta's pretty good and they have a good cornerback. Whatevs. You know, give me some Thielen again. I'm going back to the well.
Nice.
Keenum is in play as well. I lean Minnesota way more than Atlanta.
See, I kind of felt the same way, and that's what makes me think that it could almost be a shootout, being that Atlanta's at home and Matt Ryan's playing better. And I mean, if they can kind of keep it up and keep it close and use those running backs and balance those receivers and stuff. I mean, if Minnesota has to keep up the offense because Atlanta's rolling, they can. They've shown us that. So it just feels like one of those games where, I mean, it really could happen. This isn't two teams that I would have thought in, say, week three we're going to be in some kind of a shootout, but it looks like it could actually kind of happen.
Well, Vegas sees that happening, but I think you got to play these matchups, and I think you know, I am not expecting a shootout. If you're asking me, I would say the over-under seems about right here. I'm not expecting like 60 points between these two teams. Not like that game against the Redskins where Minnesota a couple weeks ago, but, you know, it could happen. But more so, like I said, I just want to play the matchups. And Mohamed Sanu seems like the guy on Atlanta right now to play. He's throwing touchdowns. He's catching a lot of passes. He's doing a lot. He's doing a lot of good stuff.
I saw his numbers. His career numbers as a quarterback, he's 6-for-6 for, you know, I think a couple of touchdowns and a perfect passer rating at 158. So I don't know what everybody's talking about.
Throwing touchdowns every week, man. Good stuff.
I mean, we just benched Eli in New York. Maybe we benched Matt Ryan for Mohamed Sanu, but you know, whatever.
No. Wait till we start hearing, should I play Geno this week? Which, I don't know. Maybe.
I'll tell you what, man. That's the fun part of DFS. You want to move on to the next one?
Yeah, let's keep it moving.
New England Patriots versus the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. Another division game. 48.5-point total. This time, New England is carrying an 8.5-point road favorite into Buffalo. I don't know what Buffalo's going to say about that, but on the other side, I don't really know what Buffalo can do about that because it looks like the Patriots are back. What do you think?
It's December.
Seems like... Yeah, well, but we're not really calling for any kind of snow or crap like
that.
No,
I just mean the Patriots smash in December, okay?
Sure, they're coming on. I got you.
Let's get this straight. These are the Patriots, and this is December. Belichick is not a guy who loses games in December. This coach has his team ready.
So you're saying the early season stuff is over, Belichick ain't fucking around no more.
The season works in flows. Everybody, if you looked at the numbers right now, you'd see a Patriots team, oh, they're bad on defense. Well, they're giving up a lot of points, and they don't have good rankings. Yeah, but they've been crushing teams the last 4 or 5 weeks. They got their shit together, and you have to pay attention to that. You know, the way teams are playing, because we get these numbers, and we're all staring at them, and, oh, DVP and everything, and you know, when you watch the games, you see, oh, no, these guys turned it around. They're playing much better. It's like I said with the Giants. I wrote up a whole thing about this. The last couple – now, the Giants are going to fall apart again. But I wrote a whole thing about this a couple weeks ago where everybody's looking at the Giants and thinking, oh, this is a smash spot for the offense that's facing them. But I said, no, they're a starter player. You know, that Denver game, they went on a run of playing really good defense. Like I said, they actually started to play. Now, I think, again, they're going to quit now that the team has basically conceded the season. Now all of the players are going to concede it also. But up until last week they played well. I said they were going to play well. Everybody's like, oh, Washington, smash spot. Giants defense is terrible. I said, no, they've been playing well. That is not a smash spot. So, you know, that was the Thursday night game. I did the whole write-up in Slack about it. So this is what I'm talking about. With the Patriots, they're playing much better defense than they had early in the season. Now, all that said, listen, Tyrod is always in play at home as a cash play. I mean, he's great. Zay Jones had a nice game last week. LeSean McCoy, sure, why not? This is a home team. So you could play these guys. But I certainly like the Patriots more, and Cooks, Gronk, Brady, and, you know, pick your poison with the two running backs, Burkhardt and Lewis, and whatever. I think they can all get theirs, every single one of them, as long as the weather conditions hold true. If it's become some sort of Buffalo wind snow situation, then, you know, all bets are off.
Well, I will tell you just one thing we're focused on inside Slack right now, me and Mark, the weather guy, is after the weekend, it looks like you guys are going to get colder over there on the East Coast. But it doesn't look like it's going to affect anything this week.
Nice.
So batten down the hatches, get your winter coats out and ready, because by about mid-next week or late next week, you guys are going to be headed for some cold stuff. Winter will return to the Northeast at any
good
rate.
Good times.
There Not we go. Really. How about a little Denver and Miami talk? What do you say?
Yeah.
Let's move into what is that? 38.5-point total, man. That's kind of the stink. We got a 1.5-point road favorite in Denver. I don't think it really matters when the total's 38.5. Do you see? I'm a big Jarvis lover. I always love me some Jarvis Landry. I think that the guy is pretty doggone matchup proof with all the targets and stuff that he gets. But man, I really don't like me going up against Denver, even though they're a shadow of themselves. I may even bench him in my season-long league because I've got a deep bench.
Don't go crazy about benching players. Listen, Roby, the number one corner for Denver is out for the next 2 weeks. Let's start there. Now, they have three good corners, but one of them is out. The best of them. I think he's the best of them. But nonetheless, one of their corners is out. He's suspended for 2 games, fine with Mike Crabtree. You know, it's a shame that Miami
has... That was Tlaib, wasn't it?
Yeah, Tlaib.
Wasn't that chain snatcher?
Yeah, that's right. He don't like that chain, man. He doesn't like that chain. But Aqib Talib is out, so, you know, they lost their best corner for the next couple weeks, but they have other good corners too. All of their corners are good. You know, it's a shame that Miami's playing at Denver because this is at Miami. Hang on.
Mm-hmm.
That does change South Beach. Thing a little bit. So, I mean, the question for me really is, what do we do about Kenyon Drake? That, see, I look at value plays, and
sure.
Kenyon Drake is getting a full workload
should,
here.
Should be his show.
With Damian Williams likely out for this game. So that's what I'm looking
Denver's
at.
Isn't Denver still number one against the run?
They're not number one against the run, but they're pretty damn close. Actually, they're actually ranked in the middle, 19. So they've been gashed. I think. Remember that Giants game when Orleans Dark War was destroying them? I think these guys have kind of stopped playing their best. Now this is Miami, so they can implode at any moment. You know, so I just it's not something I'm going to feel safe about in cash by any stretch of the imagination. I don't care how cheap Drake is on some of these sites. Am I going to be excited about Landry? No, I don't play him all that often either. He's one of these guys that I always find is overpriced on DraftKings for my liking. And so I never end up playing him. I don't like him as a high sixes kind of player. Now, if his price
I don't like
is
him
down
on DraftKings, but...
Is his price Bam, down at all?
No,
like,
I love the guy.
Where's he priced at?
No, he's sitting there about where he always does.
Yeah, so if he's in those high sixes, I just want to reach up for... You know, somebody better, like a Phelan at 7,500. Like, am I going to play? Let's see here. Landry, all right. He did come down. He's at 5,900. So, DraftKings does adjust for the matchups. And because this is a tough matchup, they brought him down from his 6,800 salary from last week down to 5,800, which is actually very attractive, or 5,900, which is interesting and makes you want to consider using him. I think he's actually in play at that price. But a 38-point projection, let's not go crazy on this game. Neither team looks good. Who's the quarterback? I mean, actually, Simeon coming back?
Supposedly. I think the Paxton Lynch experiment's over.
Yeah, I mean, but if Simeon comes back, I don't mind some of these Denver wide receivers. I think Sanders is really cheap. Under five, is he healthy? I mean, if he is, you know, on DraftKings, if he's healthy, you have to look at Emmanuel Sanders. Say, maybe I should use this guy. If he's really not healthy, he hasn't looked good, then Demaryius Thomas at 5,300. Yeah.
Well,
under Simeon.
There's an easy question for you. You know, it's some type of season-long thing, because I know these guys have these guys. Who would you prefer this week, Sanders or Jarvis Landry?
Yes, it's a tough decision, but they're not the same price. Sanders is $1,000 less.
That's why I threw you the season long, is take the money out of it.
I think I might go Landry in the season long. You know, he's got more targets, and he's at home. So, I mean,
but at the
$1,000
less,
target
now
for.
All of a sudden we're
that's,
Kevin
well,
and
that's
Bob,
what
yeah.
brings. Yeah, you know, I like a value. I love a bargain. I'm a sucker for a value. Sometimes I'll avoid the bargain, but usually I'm a sucker for a bargain. So that's just how I roll. You know, I love those coupons.
It's no wonder you didn't answer your phone on Black Friday, man. You're probably out doing all that shopping.
Nah, man. I do that shopping online. Come on. Got to pimp out.
That's all good. Is that we got any more for Denver and Miami, or you want to move on?
No, 38-point projection. I mean, let's not go crazy.
Thank you. I think everybody else thanks us, too. Houston Texans versus Tennessee Titans, 43-point total, so not a whole lot better. 7-point projection or 7-point spread on the Titans gives them a 25-point implied total, which – You know, that's not so bad. There's got to be some value to be had here, because I know there's green all over the DVP map for Houston right now.
Well, I mean, Houston's been giving up big plays nonstop to wide receivers. Now, it's very tough to trust Mariota at this point. He just has not had a big game. None of his wide receivers have had a big game recently. You know, we might want to go back to that well with Corey Davis, but, I mean, let's not do that in cash games again. And, I'm not sure about Rishard Matthews. He hasn't been practicing yet, so I assume he's not playing.
Did you see this news? Rishard Matthews is going to be sporting custom cleats in the game, honoring Colin Kaepernick taking a knee.
What?
Yeah, I saw that on the news today. I was like, really? It's like, that's what we're getting custom cleats for?
He's
but okay.
Supposed to, now he's supposed to be playing. Wait, I'm just like, wait, he's playing this week? What?
He's really playing? I just saw, I was like, man, way to politicize everything. I'm going to politicize my sneakers, man.
Is he gonna take a knee as he sits the game out on the sidelines? Is that what's happening? So he has like special, he should use like a special knee pad with Colin Kaepernick's face on it. And he could just take a knee in honor of Colin.
You think he's going to put pigs on his shoes?
Oh, definitely. And he should just take a knee in honor of Colin and you know, and sit the game out because he's supposed to be sitting the game out because he's got a hamstring injury. So, like, that's what I'm interested in. And so, like, can you go to Corey Davis again? He got targets. He hadn't done anything yet. And, like, that was a pretty good matchup for the Titans last week. Now, one game doesn't lead to another. There's no real connection between these, like, in that way. But, I mean, for the Texans, every single week, DeAndre Hopkins is in play. Now, I don't know who's going to be the quarterback for the Texans. I have concerns about Savage and his five turnovers against the Ravens last week. And, like, he's so bad.
I'm just loving the Savage. I'm the just Savage. Stuck on Savage.
Yeah, he's definitely Savage. And
if there's anyone that can fancy up a name, it's you.
Yes. I mean, he's so bad. That guy is like a freaking – he's like a statue out there. He reminds me of – I don't even have a – he reminds me of, like, he's so slow and he just doesn't move anywhere and he takes a sack and he throws these flutter balls. But I mean, he does throw at DeAndre Hopkins a lot, so there's never going to be a week where I'm like, yeah, let's not use Hopkins this week. Like, no, let's use DeAndre Hopkins. They just throw to him nonstop, and I don't care if it's the other guy who they have behind him, some other scrub, I can't remember his name. It doesn't matter who's throwing the passes. I think Hopkins will always be pretty decent. Now, it's hard for me to want to play Hopkins above, I don't know, Brandon
Jarvis
Cooks.
Landry.
Well, no, Brandon Cooks. I do like him over Landry. But like over a Brandon Cooks or someone like that, or an Adam Thielen.
I was going to say
way
Thielen.
Way too close in price. Like, I'm going to take Thielen over. I'm going to take Thielen over Hopkins probably in a week like this. Just because of the quarterback situation, but I love Hopkins too. As far as the running situation goes, you know, I don't know what the deal is with Miller and his knees. He seemed to get a little hurt. He's not practicing. But if he does play, I like him as well. They don't really, you know, I don't think Alfred Berlew is a threat to his carries. And if he's going to get a full workload against the Titans, I'll take it. The Titans are just not that good of a team.
What about DeMarco Murray?
I'm going to keep my streak of having not played DeMarco Murray once in DFS in the last 2 years alive.
What about Delanie Walker?
Well, Walker I like. I always like Delanie Walker. Okay. Always like Delanie Walker. Yeah, he's good.
Sounded like I really derailed you with the whole custom sneakers thing there. So
yeah, I know. I wasn't those expecting other names that. Out there. Where did you go with that?
I don't think anybody was. I
think
swear.
It should be like a custom knee pad, not a sneaker.
That's awesome. That's actually, you have a career in marketing, sir.
Yeah, I mean, tie it in. I mean, what the hell's a sneaker got to do with anything?
I totally fell out of my chair when I saw that, either scrolling Twitter or something. Like, so again, I mean, let's consider the source.
No,
but anyway,
he's a hero.
If he shows up in Colin Kaepernick sneakers, you heard it here first. Let's move to Indianapolis Colts at Jacksonville. Hey, Indianapolis going down to Jacksonville to play down there in the sun in the Florida. 40.5 points, another real sexy total, but this time Jacksonville carries 9.5 point spread. Do we trust Leonard Fournette?
You know, I was just staring at him going, can we trust Leonard Fournette here? Because he's in such a good matchup. He's at home.
It's like $8,800 on FanDuel, though. That's frightening price for what he's given us the past couple of weeks.
He's in the same on DraftKings. He's priced alongside Gurley, Ingram, McCoy, and Kamara. You know, he's in that grouping. He's the lowest of that grouping, but he's in that grouping. Okay? He's coming off a game against a supposedly tough matchup at Arizona, but, I mean, 12 attempts?
Right.
Three targets?
Right.
Not that much.
I mean, what was a close game.
That was not some blowout. That was a close game.
Are they lying about his ankle?
They could be. They could be. I don't know. So, no. Am I going to pay top dollar for this guy in a cash game? I'm going to have a real hard time doing that because I think it's not a sure thing. I'd rather take the value guys and pay up for. I think it's time to switch from, you know, paying up for Hunt and McCoy and, you know, and Gurley and some of these guys. Even though I like them.
I can almost get on board with you this week.
You know, and yeah, taking some value, taking some Carlos Hyde and some Jamal Williams. Get some value in there. Just last week it worked. I mean, I was on the podcast last week talking about – now, I didn't talk about Jamal Williams, although I did play him in the two-game slate. Only in the two-game, not in the main slate.
Okay. As I say, no, don't admit that to your listeners, man.
No, I did not
man.
Play him. No, only in the two-game slate where you had limited choices. And it was great. But last week I was all about Mixon, all about Tevin Coleman. I had so many shares of both. So – you know, I like the cheap running back who's going to get a lot of touches.
Oh, I know you do. It's hard for me this year because double high has worked so well for me. That's what I coin it. When I pay up in both running back spots and just pump my receivers, double high has worked really well for me all year long.
Well, that's working all the early season, though. You know, you got to almost switch it up.
But last week I had to take a couple of cheapies, and I was okay with it, and it worked out just fine. You got to know when to switch, and like you said, this may be the time to start looking more into that value because basically those high-priced studs, these dudes are just either not getting the work or they're falling a little flat or their coaches aren't using them in the right spot. It's been weird the past couple of weeks, and these guys have just – if you didn't have another lineup that was using some value running backs, you've just been getting killed with the chalk running backs this, what, past 2 weeks or so.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, people are using Hunt and Gurley. And I used a ton of Gurley last week, and he just did not come through. 16 points, fine, but it's not doing it for the salary level. Like, I need more than that. Right. So you got to be a little bit careful with that.
McCoy let us down. Gordon let us down. Fournette let us down. All these chumps.
I mean, Gordon didn't
let
me down. I didn't play that. Just bizarre. But I didn't play any of those clowns except for Gurley. And, you know, that was a shame. But at least he got me the 16.2. I'll take that. Now, it felt really bad when Julio, for the same price, you know, went for 55. So, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, I can see going a little bit different way with that. And, no, you know who I do trust, though, in this game? Just get back to the game because, you know, you have some players here that you could play. On the Colts side, it's Jack Doyle every week. Don't go near – or I'm not going near T.Y. Hilton. But Doyle,
nope.
You know, they throw to him a lot. He's always a good, solid cash play. And for the Jags, I think Marquise Lee is back in play here because the Colts don't really have anybody that can cover him. He was, you know, phased out last week, rightfully so, fully expected it, did not play him, told everybody not to play him, but because of the tough matchup. But now he's back against the Colts, and why not? You know, he's a little bit pricey for me on DraftKings. He's not a player I use on FanDuel, but he's a little pricier than I'm comfortable with. But this is a better matchup than he's had in a while. And as long as that Q goes away, I'm down with Marquise a little bit, not too much. Some other plays I like better for cheaper, but I don't mind him if I'm forced to.
Okay.
Yeah, him and Doyle.
Yeah, that's about it. You gotta like Jacksonville's defense.
Jags defense, yeah, for sure. After the 7-sack game against the Titans last week at home, I mean, Jacksonville's way better. So, you know, if there's any anything that is decent in this world, if the Titans destroyed you defensively, then, I mean, you'd think the Jags would be just better.
You would think. These guys have 6 defensive touchdowns on the year already. I mean, seriously.
It's supposed to be better. Supposed to be better.
That's crazy. How about here's a game that I this one's kind of fun because it doesn't look like any line, any spread, anything. It looks like it's totally offline. It can't be right. We'll have to double check that somewhere.
Well, I have numbers. Tampa Bay. What are we looking at?
Tampa Bay at Green Bay.
I do have numbers here. Good, Tampa 1.5 point favorites, 55 point total.
55.
44 point total. But it should be a 55 pointer. I think there's going to be a lot of scoring in this one. It's one of the games I'm really targeting. Not on the Tampa side because I just have not been able – you know, I have a cognitive bias against Fitzpatrick that I have a difficult time getting past.
Yeah, you do.
I do. I have a difficult time with it.
So I can't play the guy either, but I mean, you're really bad.
No, I have a cognitive bias. I acknowledge it. I'm reading a book. I'm working on it. I'm seeing something.
Okay, for all you blue collar workers like me out there, that means he hates him. He's fancying it up with cognitive bias.
Come on, I got to use daily fantasy and poker terminology.
That's right, and I got to dumb it down for the rest of us.
All right. Well, nonetheless, I'm reading a book about it. I'm trying to work on myself.
There we go. Big vocabulary words.
I do know. There's a book out there. Renee Miller. She's very good.
She is good.
So, no, but I love the Packers here, and I love more than just Jamal. The Tampa Bay defense is the defense that you want to take offenses against every single week. Every single week. I mean, Mohamed Sanu's throwing touchdowns against these guys. They are very bad. They can't stop anything. So you have to – Brett Hundley showed he's coming around. He's looking better every week. He's getting comfortable in the offense. This is a guy that's been in with this team for a few seasons, should have known the offense, came in, butterflies, a little nervous. Didn't play so great, a little nervous, a lot nervous. That happens. But now he's settling in.
Something fierce.
Yeah, I mean, but he did. He was very nervous, but now he's settling down. And now he looks like a pretty decent, competent guy at the helm, or at least he did last week. He looked competent. He loves he loves Davante Adams. So why fight it? Why fight it? Is Adams so expensive that we really have to worry about? Let me get his salary level here going. Because, all right, $6,500. That's amazing on DraftKings what they do here. But, I mean, he's the same price level as Cooper Kupp, you know, Robbie Anderson, Tyreek Hill. I like Adams over those guys. You know, he's in a great spot. Can you play some Randall Cobb? Sure, he threw it to him last week. I think Nelson is borderline unplayable. I don't know why he doesn't throw to Jordy, but hey, I like that better because it focuses the targets on a couple of guys. So I like the Packers offense in this game. I like the Tampa offense too if I could get past some of the – now, there's a couple things about Tampa. Doug Martin is out this week. Jaquizz is going to get all the touches. But there's this guy Peyton Barber who vultured two goal line touchdowns last week. So are they going to give it to Barber at the end zone? There's concern with Jaquizz. And he's definitely the kind of player that you don't use on FanDuel. But on DraftKings, let's see where he's at. 4,300. All right, so I don't know. I might have a hard time at that price. 4,300 was more than I was hoping, but he's still relatively cheap on DraftKings. I just think there's some concern about Peyton Barber and just Jaquizz hasn't really had many very good games. But nonetheless, he should be getting a lot of run. More so, though, I mean, if you like taking risks, I guess Mike Evans should be playable. I think DeSean Jackson is fine, I guess. But I'm going to focus on the Packers side of this game and just say Adams, Cobb, and Jamal Williams, and Brett Hundley for the win. Hello? I think I lost Chop. Let's get him back.
Hey, bro. I never lost you. I don't know why you lost me.
Oh, really? Well, I thought I lost you, but welcome back. So we continue.
Thank you. Bye. Part two.
All right. So we finish up with that game. Let's move on to the next one.
So I was going to say, would you stack Hundley with Davante Adams, and I'm sure your answer is yes.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Hundley, Adams, Cobb, all good. And definitely that is the stack.
Well, let's take on your hometown team. Let's go Kansas City versus New York. In New York, 44-point total, 3.5-point spread favoring Kansas City. Why anymore? I don't know.
This is the Jets.
Andy Reid has lost it. Dude can't coach anymore the past few weeks, apparently. I don't like anybody other than maybe Travis Kelce, and I think your boys defend the tight end pretty well. Am I right?
No, Kelce will be fine. No. Kelce should be just fine. This is a good game for him. Definitely in play. Yep. I totally agree with you. I'm not trusting a whole lot. I mean, you're not playing Kareem Hunt anymore. You know, Tyreek Hill, sure, Jets don't have a whole lot going on at the cornerback position, though Hill hasn't had a big game in a long time. You know, the slump of Alex Smith coincides with the Tyreek Hill slump, so he's not a guy I'm running to play, especially at a somewhat inflated salary relative to the production he's been putting up the last few weeks, or for, like, most of the second half of the season. On the Jets side, everybody's going to talk about Robbie Anderson, and okay.
Mm-hmm. For good reason.
He's been scoring touchdowns. I give him that. Kansas City, defensively, on paper, has been bad this season. They're traditionally a good team, but they're bad this season. They're one of the worst against the pass. I tend to be skeptical of those things. Like, I feel like the teams that are good can turn that around. But, yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a situation to avoid for me. I don't think this is a play to the over game. I don't like it one bit. I'm probably not going to use even Robbie Anderson. I think it feels a little like chasing points to me at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, he had that big game last week. They jacked up his salary, and I get it. He's in a great spot, but it feels a little chasey to me.
So do we nickname Robbie Anderson Bitcoin?
Is that
he a little overheated?
No, I mean, I don't know if I... Yeah, see, there we go. Is Bitcoin overheated? I keep getting... Well, I don't want... Don't get me started.
I read books too, okay?
I just think this is a tough game. I think it's going to be a low score. I don't really see a lot of... Outside of Kelsey, who's in play every single week, and nothing special here compared to every other week. I don't really see a whole lot of interest for me. I'm probably not going to play Robbie Anderson in the sixes on DraftKings. Up in higher price points on FanDuel, even though he's probably playable. It's another cognitive bias scenario for me, though, with the Jets. There we go. So I'm just going to pass on this game completely.
You read Renee, I'll read about Bitcoin, we're all good.
There we go.
Sunday, let's move to the 4 p.m. games. Cleveland Browns out in L.A. at the Chargers. Boy, that L.A. Chargers is starting to roll off the tongue a little bit. Guess it didn't take full season to get used to that. 42.5-point total. Golly, their spread has moved up. They opened at like 13. They're now up to 14 points.
I mean, who do we like better on defense, the Chargers or Jacksonville this week? Because you can make an argument for either one of these teams as the top overall defense play. As far as the rest of the team, obviously this is a Chargers or bust kind of a game. I wish I could tell you I felt safe with Melvin Gordon.
I don't.
I know. I mean, it's as good of a spot as you're ever going to see for him. And, you know, he's definitely a game flow guy. Like, he should do well in this game. But Cleveland's been stingy against the run. Yeah, Cleveland's been stingy against the run. But my issue with him, again, is he's priced as a three-down workhorse, every-down stud. But they're taking him out of the game on passing plays. You know, on third and long, he's not in the game. On the hurry-up offense, if they ever get into it, he's not in the game. And I'm not dealing with that. That's when you do a lot of scoring. So, you know, I'll take that in a GPP. But in my cash game, if I'm paying up, I need a guy who is more likely than not to put up a big number. And I don't see Gordon as that. I think he could. He always could. He could break one. Any running back can. But is he more likely than not? Will he bring that consistency? And I'm going to say no. I do like for the Chargers, Keenan Allen a lot.
Good.
A lot. Because good. I don't think McCourty's going to be on him.
He does not go in the slot. We've actually, of all rooms in Slack, we were debating it in the NHL room for the past, I don't know, past day or so. And somebody came off with numbers. I think it was actually an Adam Levitan tweet that said that McCourty's only been in the slot covering a receiver for 7 plays on the year. And Keenan Allen runs 52% of his routes out of the slot.
Yeah, so Allen's going to get his in this game.
Allen's going
to
eat.
They're going to funnel extra targets. So, I mean, Hunter Henry, listen to me. This is Cleveland.
Right.
The place where tight ends go to have big games.
Okay? Well, then that begs the question. If Hunter Henry's in play, Keenan Allen's in play. Philip Rivers, right?
That is correct. Now you can stack both of those guys with Rivers for the win.
Right. Absolutely.
There's nothing else. We don't need anything on the Cleveland side. The Chargers' defense is very good. They get sacks. They destroyed Dallas the other week. They've been destroying teams. Quietly, very good. They've got good corners. They've got one of the better corners in the league. You know, don't play Josh Gordon this week. I'm not going to play Coleman. You know,
quietly is the operative word there, because I did some research myself just for my own season-long stuff, and the way our Yahoo League scores, L.A. Chargers are the fourth highest scoring defense in the league for us, and they were on the wire.
That is not the perception of this team. It's the reality.
No, it is not. That's why I loved your word quietly, because they're very sneaky.
I love them. I love the Chargers defense this week, and I like everything to do with their offense. Everything. Outside of, again, paying up for Gordon, which I just can't bring myself to do it. But if somebody wants to play Austin Eckler, I don't have a problem with that.
I will say that one thing that I've been reading this year that has actually intrigued me is in those home games with high implied totals, even big spread independent, these games, the quarterbacks perform. They get their points. And therefore, a few wide receivers are going to score with them if you can funnel that production. And what you did was you just pegged Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry as the targets. Henry, because it's a Cleveland matchup thing, but Keenan, because he's been beasting the last 2 weeks, and he's the primary target anyway. So that really lends to, yes, it should be a Gordon grind down the clock kind of game, but will it be? Because it seems like those guys are the ones that are running the show right now, and they're going to get their points no matter what the hell the spread is, what Vegas says.
To put up those points early. I mean, last week I played Tyler Croft, touchdown Raider, against Cleveland, because whereas this is a player I would never normally play in cash games, it's Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Cleveland, a team that made Mercedes Lewis look like the next coming of Gronk. And the team that made Seal Jones? Who the hell is that guy from Arizona?
Ricky Seals Jones.
Two touchdowns? So this is Cleveland. You got to play tight ends against these guys. Hunter Henry.
Amen, brother.
Boom.
Sounds fair to me. All right, let's move to Carolina at New Orleans. Let's go down to Coors Field of the NFL. Carolina, another division rivalry, blah, blah, blah. And we know that they're run first now, it feels like, in New Orleans. And for me, the whole Kamara and Ingram is a committee, and when Ingram is only getting 12 and 13, or Kamara's only getting 12 and 13 touches a week, sure, he's blown up for 200 yards. I don't know that I can trust him at that salary point, because at some point, just like happened to Kareem Hunt in week 5 or 6, this train is going to end at some point, unless he gets more volume, in my opinion. My concern in this game is more like Cam Newton. I think Cam is in play.
He's certainly playable, but you know, I've had a lot of disappointments on these Carolina-New Orleans matchups over the years. I can't say how often it's really dudded out for me, but it's been a lot. And I don't think Cam Newton is going to have a good game. I think the Saints' defense is very, very good. And Cam Newton is not the kind of player that tends to beat very good defense. Now, I don't know if Marshawn Lattimore, if all of the cornerbacks are out again, you know, all bets are off the table. Let's see what happens with those guys. Like, if their entire offense, cornerback trio is out, then okay, now I'm a little more interested. You know, Olsen seemed to re-aggravate whatever injury he had last week. Is he going to play? Maybe. Is he a guy that's usable? No. Last week I told you, don't use Greg Olsen. He's coming off a long-term injury. We don't use players in those situations. What if he goes off? I don't care. As a rule, I don't use players in those situations. Once again, he got hurt in that game, didn't do shit, and now this week we don't even know he's going to play. So, Funchess, now if Lattimore and all those guys are out, I do like Funchess as standalone play. They're going to throw to him a ton. I mean, who else are they throwing to? McCaffrey has an ankle, but I think he's going to play, so he's fine. And then for New Orleans, it's a tough call. Like I said, is it going to be another game with just these two running backs grinding it out? Is this a Kamara game? Is this an Ingram game? You know, if you guess wrong, you get a lot of trouble, because they're pretty expensive. So I think they're both GPP onlys for me. I think paying up for a running back, you need to get a guy who's going to lock down 20-plus points. And while I think both of those guys have 30-point upside. You know, we saw last week that Ingram can deliver a pretty bad score if he doesn't get in the end zone or if the game script goes against him. I think Kamara's a little more matchup-proof. He's been more of the cash play for me.
It feels like the targets and touches are going his direction too, but he just worries me with when he can just only get 12. I know that he's a beast, but I don't know. It just scares me at 7,500, 8,000.
Anybody can get only 12 on any given day. So, I mean, that can happen. But, I mean, yeah, I know what you mean.
So, I don't know. It's the interesting part for me, there was something in there that you had said. I don't mind Funchess. I don't think he's got a great matchup. And I think that's mostly Lattimore. If Lattimore's out, I think it's a lot better. Gosh, I was drawing a blank. So it doesn't really matter. Let's move on.
Yeah, there we go.
I tend to have my blonde moments.
What do we got next?
LA Rams at Arizona Cardinals. That was a lot of dead space in there, man. I had to just move on. Just punt it. LA Rams versus Arizona Cardinals, division rivalry out west. This should be their second meeting of the year, too. 45-point total, 7-point spread for the LA Rams, of course. Would we really think that Arizona is going to be favored here? I'm not afraid to go back to Gurley in this one. I know you are.
I'm not afraid to go back to the hurly-gurly, man. I like Gurley here. I mean, I know that this is not a prime matchup, obviously, at Arizona. Fournette definitely faltered here, but this is a different offense. This is the Rams. They're very, very good. They score a lot. Now, Arizona can stop the run, and I don't know that I'm going to definitely want to pay, you know, top dollar for a guy like Gurley, who's the most expensive running back on the slate. But he's definitely playable. I'm not that scared of the Arizona. I'm not that scared of the Arizona defense at all here. I think that outside of Gurley, listen, they jacked up the salaries for some of these Arizona wide receivers. So you have to figure the Rams wide receivers on DraftKings. I don't know if FanDuel does it that quick, but DraftKings is very quick to adjust. And you got Cooper Kupp or Kupp, like, jacked up in the sixes at this point, like a stud. And the question is, are they correct? Because I think he's going to Kupp plays out of the slot. He's probably going to avoid Patrick Peterson, so he's in a funnel spot. And it might actually be worth paying up for Kupp. And let me check his FanDuel price, because sometimes I'd rather just get the bargain on the one side and just fade on the other side. Yeah, see, on FanDuel, I can get Kupp down in Nelson Aguilar, Jordy Nelson salary levels. You know, his competition is like Devontae Parker.
Oh, he's a very attractive play on FanDuel.
Very attractive play at that price.
Especially when people see box checkers, look at the – well, it'll just be checked. But if you could see the numbers that I see, the red zone targets this guy has been getting are insane.
He's been getting a lot of them, but he hadn't done much else outside of last week because he hasn't gotten yardage. And even last week with all the yardage, he actually didn't get in the end zone. But, I mean, the target numbers are what interests me. 11 targets last week.
Yeah, you know, numbers normalize.
Even before, 7-7 the week before, and he's been scoring or getting red zone targets. So while I don't think he – but it's a very precipitous price increase from 5,000 to 6,400.
Oh. You knocked me to the floor with precipitous, man.
I'm not sure I used it right. I wish I didn't repeat it. I'm not sure I used it correctly there.
I was say, you have been reading, but, you know, whatever.
Renee Miller, man. Trying to smart.
She's got three mentions on the pod. Go, Renee.
Well, yeah, I don't read that much. It's like one book. All right, so, no, I do. This is part of the research I do for this show, for our people, nice. For our DFS armies. I read books about daily fantasy sports. I try to get better at it every single week and every single year. That's part of what I do.
I thought you were going to say you read big words so you can repeat them on the show.
And then I can learn big words, too.
You got a little douchebag weasel like me calling you out every time you use one.
Damn it, don't call me out on every – sometimes I don't use them right. Okay. So, yeah, but you got to like Cooper Kupp, especially if we find out that Peterson is kind of going to be on – I want to look at some of those numbers. Get the hockey crew to examine the numbers of – Cooper Kupp and how often he's in the slot and how often Patrick Peterson shadows the slot.
Let's
get the hockey boys to do this, okay?
You win. Comment of the night, you win. That was awesome.
In between their hooliganisms. Whatever the hell.
Oh, yeah, hockey brother. It's... It's getting late. We're getting slap happy.
There we go. All right. What else about this game? What is this, Arizona? I mean, yeah, do you want to play? I like, actually, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, sure. Why not? This isn't a bad spot for him. Blaine Gabbert looks pretty good.
Say it for cheap.
He looks pretty good. I'm not playing low. I'm not playing Blaine Gabbert. But
no, I'm going Ricky Seals-Jones. Say it for cheap.
No. No Ricky Seals. But Larry Fitzgerald's in play. And, you know, he even last week had a rough game against the Jags. But 8 targets, 10 targets, 14 targets. This dude is getting targeted a ton. They don't have anyone else. Jerron Brown only runs deep routes. He's not a guy who's going to catch these passes. And you're right. Maybe it is Ricky Seals-Jones. Because the reality is with this team, you need someone. How much is Ricky Seals-Jones?
Dirt cheap.
Is he a 25 hundy?
He's, well, probably not anymore. He's had two good weeks.
Okay. He's had two good
weeks. But he's low.
I do like Ricky.
Look at his targets.
Wait.
Look at his targets.
A Game of Thrones moment for the hardcore fans. Yes, I do like Ricky Seals.
I got to start watching that show just so I get your jokes.
Yeah, you really need to watch that show. I'm going to give you, that's an assignment for the offseason. But God, do not let your children into the room when you're watching.
I understand.
You know what? Ricky Seals-Jones. Hello. 17 points last week. 20 points the week before. They have no one else to throw to. So the 2 weeks with Gabbert, this guy's been on fire.
And yeah. Get this. Nobody's talking about him.
I didn't even remember his name until you just said it. Like, I was like, the guy with the hyphen. Okay? The first time I saw him, I was like, Austin Seferian Jenkins?
That's what I was thinking.
What the hell is this? There's another hyphenated guy?
The hyphen.
Yeah. Ricky Seals-Jones to win the GPP.
The hyphen.
Yes. Now, in fairness, the Rams are pretty good against tight end. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so 3,200.
3,200. Guy put up 20 points 2 weeks ago. 17 points last week. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I'll take that.
Give me 6 targets, 4 receptions, 30 yards, and a couple of red zone looks, and if I pop one, I've doubled value.
I also see him in a potential funnel spot. So, you know, there's no one else, because, you know, Adrian Peterson's not going to be able to run on the Rams, or he shouldn't be. I'm not saying he can't, but he shouldn't be able to run on the Rams. So I think it comes back to
Ricky Seals-Jones.
And Ricky Seals-Jones. Yeah.
Telling you, not just a pretty face over here.
Yeah, that was a good call. I like it.
On occasion. All right, let's move to New York. New York at the Oakland Raiders. New York goes west or east to west instead of west to east, which is what we always like to watch for. This one, not so much. 42.5-point total, 7.5. Oakland Raiders are the favorites here. Now, I don't know about you, but if New York Giants are going to give up and start Geno Smith, it's kind of like all hands on deck for Oakland, is it not? I mean, I know they don't have Crabtree suspended. Well,
Cooper's out.
Here's your hands. You want another Ricky Seals-Jones call?
Seth Roberts.
Of course.
I'm not going to let
Who else they got? Who else they got?
I mean, they must have some other people, and I got to do a little digging because I'm sure there are some other wide receivers now, on that
I don't
team.
Think that – don't get me wrong. I don't think that dude's next man up and all of a sudden going to grab 10 targets in the possession routes and all that jazz. What I do know is he's a sneaky threat in GPPs when people just kind of punt a guy for $3,500.
Yes. No, I did look this up. All right, so it's – Seth Roberts and Cordarrelle Patterson with Josh Holton or Johnny Holton.
Does Cordarrelle Patterson actually become some kind of GPP millimaker type play?
Yeah, I you know what? I don't think any one of these three guys is out of the question. I think Seth Roberts
Stranger things have happened, man.
One of these guys is going off. The Giants are without Janoris Jenkins. He's done for the season. The Giants are without their heart, okay? They're not bringing it out to Oakland. So they're coming out to Oakland to let the ownership know that if they're going to quit on the team, then the team is going to quit on them. All right? Now, I don't often say this, but, I mean, again, they're benching Eli Manning. They're bringing in the backups. They're basically throwing in the towel on the season. They've sent the message to their players. We're going after the top draft pick. We're going after a quarterback this draft. We don't want to win any more games. That's the message that I got. When you say we need to take a look at our young guys, and you're talking about Geno Smith, a guy who's not young, and we already know he sucks.
He ain't young.
All right, so what's happening here? Whoa, Brandon Webb. They're not starting Brandon Webb. They're starting Geno Smith. So it's all bullshit. They're tanking the season. They're going after wisely. I wish the Jets were smart enough to do this. What the hell is wrong with my team? Tank the season. They've had a 15-year run with Eli Manning. They might get another year and a half, 2 years out of him. So what? Put the future on the bench. Get him now. Get him ready to play. Maybe they get rid of Eli, send him to Denver so he can mirror image his brother and win a championship with a better team.
Wow.
I can see it. That's a crazy call. It's a scenario I like in my head. I definitely can see it.
Could you show up at Christmas at your house if you just went to the land your brother just took a Super Bowl in and then went and followed in his footsteps?
Yeah. Peyton would love it. God. Peyton would be like, that's my bro.
Might as well marry Peyton's wife's little sister, too.
Peyton's wife's little sister is hot. I don't know what you're talking about, dude. I would be all
I'm sure she,
that chick.
I'm sure she is.
She's smoking. And sure Eli would be lucky. Have you seen Eli? He looks like a hillbilly. Like he looks like a Beverly hillbilly, basically. Like, her shucks low. You know, like that guy should get Peyton Manning's wife's little sister, who looks like she could be a freaking supermodel. Come on. That's a hot chick. I haven't even seen her, but I'm so sure of this. Like, if you research up Peyton Manning's wife's little sister, I'm sure Peyton Manning's wife is smoking hot, and her sister is also smoking hot. Like, I haven't seen either of them. I'm just going off complete assumptions.
I am absolutely afraid to run that search on Google. God knows what I'm going to get.
Yeah, don't do it on your family computer. So, Seth Roberts, Cordarrelle Patterson, there's so much value in this game. It's crazy. This is the game where you're going to find the value. Now, part of the nice thing about it is it's not like the Raiders run very much. I mean, could it be Marshawn Lynch? Man, it would be tough to play him. I hate him.
If it was on a two-game slate, afternoon only maybe, some kind of GPP.
Something like that. I mean, his price, they jacked up the salary. Let's see how many targets. He got – Okay, wait a minute.
I don't know. Just had another Ricky Seals-Jones moment. Look out.
You know, I did not look at his game log from last week. I saw he put up some points, but he did what he had to do to put up a lot of points, which was get 26 attempts and 3 targets in the passing game. And even with all of that and a touchdown, he was only able to get to 20 points. Now, again, that was against Denver. Good defense. Now we're talking Giants. Good defense, but don't care. So I don't mind a Marshawn Lynch in tournaments. He's never going to be a cash play for me. He's old. He's not that good anymore. But in tournaments, assuming that the Giants throw in the towel in this game, like there is a game script that involves the Giants just not giving a fuck. Plus you have the bonus of Lynch being a guy who, if they get down to the red zone, are they going to give it to him on the goal line? Like he could fall into the end zone for a touchdown or two. That's in him. Now, if he could put that together with an acceptable game, then we have something. But again, Marshawn Lynch is a player with a definite ceiling. It's not that high. He doesn't get a ton of yardage. He doesn't get a ton of yardage in the passing game normally, although he did last week randomly. And he's going to need to get those tutties. But yeah, I hate to say it, but Marshawn Lynch is usable in this spot. I'm surprised that the spread
is only 7?
Well, it's 8.5 now, in fairness. But okay. I mean, I think it might go higher. Like, what are the Giants? They're bringing Geno Smith and no offense whatsoever to the table. Sterling Shepard will be back. I mean, he's over the migraine thing, but this is Geno Smith. Now, that said, you could play Sterling Shepard, except they jacked up his salary to the point where he's unplayable.
Could you run Derek Carr, Seth Roberts, Jared Cook, and the Oakland defense?
Oh my gosh, Jared Cook. I forgot to mention Jared Cook. This is the Giants, second only to Cleveland in, quote, teams to use tight ends against. And now you have a Raiders team that has lost all of their wide receivers, so they're going to absolutely target Cook more than usual. Wow. It's going to be a tough decision between Cook, Ricky Seals, and Hunter Henry for who the hell, which cheap. I might have to roll two of these guys. I might have to throw a tight end in the flex this week and just roll with it because those guys are all in great spots.
And they're dirt cheap.
Yeah. Cheap, great spots.
So could I think we just took Gronk officially off your radar.
No, I'm not paying up for Gronk. You don't make the big money generally paying up for Gronk because Gronk is 8,000. He's stud wide receiver pricing. Yes, he'll get you 27 points potentially sometimes, but he's not getting you 37 or 40 points. That's first. And so his ceiling is now he has consistency, but he's got that ceiling right under 30 points. And quite honestly, he's freaking priced appropriately. It's no bargain. These guys are a bargain. I'm always looking for bargains.
Well, I'd rather get 15, 16 points out of one of these guys than 27 out of Gronk.
I love Gronk. Don't get me wrong. I want to hang out with him. Be buds.
I'm just looking for
buds. Like, I'd be happy right now if I had a text on my phone from Gronk, and he's like, dude,
oh my God.
What's up? And I'd be like, yo, what's up?
Meet me down in Manhattan. Let's go. Right.
Yo, he's like, yo, you want to party, bro? Like, he's like, yo, I got that football. You want to throw it around, the fucking Bluetooth football? I'll be like, yeah, dude, I want to throw that shit around. I have a Gronk football here in the house. It has no use. It's a Bluetooth football. I don't even understand why it exists. It's like a speaker, and you throw it. And play catch with it. And it's like, wow, I really needed my football to
house my
music. Where
the hell was that this summer?
Yeah, no, that's a real product. Look it up, the Gronk football. It's awesome. Totally happy.
Where was that this summer? That'd have been fun. All right. Sunday night hammer play, Philadelphia Eagles at Seattle Seahawks. Dude, and this is so wrong. But 47.5 point game total, 6-point road spread favoring the Philadelphia Eagles. And I know the Legion of Boom's lost all their guys and stuff. I still want to play Carson Wentz really bad.
You do?
Yes, I do. I do. I think that he's the safest guy in that kind of middle to upper. I don't want to pay down. Now, I primarily play on FanDuel. I don't want to pay down too far for QBs on FanDuel, but I don't see anybody else in that 7 to 8,200 range that I'd rather play than just take the 25 points out of Carson Wentz and move on.
You know Phil Rivers? Case Keenum for 7,600?
No. I don't
Derek
know why.
Derek Carr against the Giants?
Don't feel as safe. Well, Carr.
Tyrod Taylor at home?
No. Carr feels like Carr. I mean, these are guys that are in great
spots.
Brett
Hundley for 6,400? Come on.
None of them feel as safe. You know me. Cash game, chalk eating fool.
I'd rather play Wilson than Wentz. I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah, tough call. I don't mind. I mean, listen, Wentz has been the man.
Probably not a tough call. You're probably sparing my feelings.
No.
You and your Wentz all is... your you've been. Been reading your psychology this time. You don't want to crush my dreams.
I'm learning to be kind. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. No, Wentz has been great every single week. I actually think this game has a lot of appeal. These are two Super Bowl contending teams. I always like those situations. I like it when two teams are really good, when they're contenders. So, you know, in this case, the Eagles are a contender. Some might call them the best team in the NFC. The Seahawks are contenders. I certainly think they're the best team in the NFC West. Maybe a Super Bowl contender.
Shot at the Rams.
Oh, I didn't think about that. You know what? I like the Rams more. But I like Seattle too. I like the Rams more. I was thinking of Arizona. I'm like, yeah, they suck. No, I forgot about the Rams. Yeah. No, I'd take the Rams over Seattle. But you get the idea. Two really good teams facing off. I think they're going to put their best foot forward. I think they'll both play well. Seattle has a couple of cornerbacks out. Richard Sherman's done. So there's that. The Eagles are coming in full health. And it's an interesting hammer game. I mean, like, I don't think here's what I like about the Wentz. Here's what I like about the Wentz call. I think Seattle should be able to somewhat handle the running game that the Eagles' running game is actually really good. As much as they don't produce like great running backs scores because they mix in four different guys, it's been really, really good. But I think Seattle, who is let me get some numbers on them. But I know they're ranked very well against the running back position, and let me get to see if I can pull up their number here.
I don't see it in our research station.
I'll get it.
They're blank for now. Well,
it's number six overall adjusted. So I mean, they're very good. Very good.
I was going to plug the Army for you, pal. I was going to tell them that coupon codes and 20% off and the whole bit.
There we go. No, but no, I did find it. And they're six overall. So Seattle's very good against the run, which means that if this game should go high scoring, it's likely to be via the pass. And therefore, Carson Wentz does become a more intriguing play because, again, we know Seattle's secondary is a little banged up. They don't have anyone who's going to match up really well with Alshon Jeffrey. They certainly don't have anyone to match up with Zach Ertz. So Wentz, Jeffrey, Ertz. Now, on the flip side.
Do we need a pit for Ertz, though?
No, but, I mean, he's still got a lot in a good spot. I'm not going to say. Sure is. Yeah, he's in a good spot. I'm not going to say not to play him. So if I'm doing a Wentz stack, I just want to be aware that Ertz is a really good spot.
But you mentioned Alshon. That's a good call, too.
Yeah, because Sherman would normally be covering Alshon. They don't have him. And Alshon's been heating up week after week. Got to watch his health.
He's quietly starting to perform.
He's playing really well. But I like the fact that I think Seattle should be able to limit the run of the Eagles, pushing more production to the arm of Wentz. For Seattle, obviously, Russell Wilson in a similar situation. They don't have running backs. They have no one. So he's going to be throwing all day, day. So that means Jimmy Graham, Baldwin, Richardson, all in play.
Such a deep tight end position all of a sudden this week. We just mentioned like six of them.
Isn't it weird? Like last week I was like there were only two guys I was interested in, Walker or Doyle. That was it. With a little bit of Tyler Croft. Actually, quite a bit of Tyler Croft, oddly enough.
Right? I was totally down with that, too. I mean, I had some Kelsey, but...
No, I didn't have Kelsey. Way. I didn't pay up for anyone. I didn't have any shares of really any of the expensive guys. I know Gronk had a good game. Whatever. I'm going to save money at that position most weeks if I can. Not on FanDuel. Again, I keep talking... You know, it's funny. FanDuel's so different. It almost feels easier to me, which is why I focus a little more on DraftKings. But at some point, you should go to the easier one and just play it. You know, like last week, I basically said, like, FanDuel's so easy this week. Oh, Mixon, so 6,200. Coleman, 6,200. Boom, boom. Now I've got Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, and, like, Corey Davis filling up the rest of my lineup. Wow, that's so easy. And, you know, like, it seemed just so simple. It worked out. But then I was focused on DraftKings. It's harder. I'm like, oh, I got to figure out who of these sub $4,000 guys is going to have a good game. And, you know, that seems to be where the challenge is at. So it's odd, but I think I'm just going to play more FanDuel and just take it easy.
That's what I'm saying, boy.
Yeah, like why am I making it complicated? Like if I look at FanDuel right now, I just scroll on down and I'm like, oh, Jamal Williams, 5,700. That seems reasonable. Okay, I'll take that. And then I'll scroll up a little bit and who else is cheap? You know, let's slap this together real quick. Kareem Hunt, 6,900. Fuck Hunt. Carlos Hyde, 7,000. Boom. I'll take him. No problem. See if I have money left over at the end. Hey, let's throw Brett Hundley in the lineup. Okay. Well, now, Hundley, 6,400. Are you serious? All right. I got to pair him up with Devontae. Well, let me tell you, a GPP lineup is coming together before your eyes. Devontae Adams? Sure, I'll play him. Boom, I got my stack. I got my two cheap running backs. Now let's fill it out. Chargers defense? Fine by me. Legatron? Every week, right? Wide receivers? Okay. Julio Jones? Keenan Allen? DeAndre Hopkins, Thielen, you know, don't be afraid to use Thielen.
There you got it.
Don't be afraid to use Thielen. Right? Brandon Cooks, I like him. Now I got 8,400 for tight end. Hello, Gronk. Boom. Just made a lineup. Now, if I want to pay up at running back, I'll take out Gronk, take out Hyde, throw in Kamara, throw in Gurley, throw in one of those guys. Easy. Switch it up with Hundley, pay up for someone else, make a change. In seconds, you've got five or six iterations of a lineup.
Absolutely. That's why do you think I play on FanDuel, man?
Real quick.
That and I'm pissed at DraftKings.
Do the same thing. But switch it up with take out Hundley, put in Keenum, go back to Thielen, right? And let's do a game stack with it. Get Sanu in there. You know what I'm saying? This is not that hard.
I haven't heard you mention any Raiders yet, man.
Who? No.
Gotta go get you some Raiders.
I don't know about that. I don't even need to. I'm not paying. I don't need to pay down $4,000 for a wide receiver. That's a DraftKings thing. I don't do that on FanDuel. On FanDuel, I'm just going to play studs. Go back to it. Williams, sure. Now, again, this could all change if we find out Aaron Jones, who is practicing, is playing. But let's not be negative. Let's assume he's not going to play. You know what I'm saying? And now, you know, slap it together quick. All right, do you want Kamara, Fournette, Ingram? I don't even know which stud I want right now. I'll take Kamara in there. Sure, why not? You know what I mean? It's easy. You can afford it. If I loved Julio, where the hell is Antonio Brown on this slate? Damn, give me some. I might have to play the Thursday one just to get some Brown and Bell in there.
Yep. Dude, I'm telling you, can do that. Dude, I'm telling you, that's
a little more than I normally do on this thing.
To me, though, that's the fun. That's why I got pissed at DraftKings, is they took the Sunday night game off, and then on top of that, they priced up so hard that in a lot of cases, I'm debating between Seth Roberts and Ricky Seals-Jones when I don't know those guys. I'd rather sit there and swap out Kamara for Gurley or, you know, Thielen for Michael Thomas or something. To me, that's more fun to build lineups that way. And like you said, in 10 minutes, you can get five or six iterations that are all competitive and they're all people you're going to be sitting around watching on Sunday rooting for. That to me is where DraftKings is totally missing the boat. And they've pretty much lost me as a customer because of it.
Listen, to each their own. This is the way I approach it. To each their own. Some people like the DraftKings style where you have to find those hidden gems and you've got to play players that you'd really feel icky about playing in your season-long leagues. And some people like the FanDuel method where that's more just like your season-long league. You know, you're not looking at Seth Roberts and getting excited about him this week in your season-long league, but on Yahoo, you know what I mean? But for DFS purposes, you're like, ooh, Seth Roberts looks good in this spot. I like him. Sure, but, I mean, you don't have to do that on FanDuel, and that's one of the challenges I always found really about talking about DFS and trying to relate it to both the sites, because people might hear me, especially in the VIP pods and in my notes, and be like, wow, he really loves, you know, and some shitty ass name player, like, you know, some guy who, again, I wouldn't even start in my season long, he'd be sitting on my bench. But that's what you got to do. You're looking for hidden gems on DraftKings. Totally different, but it suits different people. There are people who are suited for one style and people who are better suited for another style. It's as simple as that. And you have to understand who you are as a player and go to it. Some people are better on this one. So that's why I like that there are two sites. I like just the fact that I compare the salaries. I'm like, oh, he's expensive on DraftKings but cheap on FanDuel. DraftKings is predictive. If you just played guys that were cheaper on FanDuel than DraftKings, you'd probably do pretty well. Because DraftKings is very predictable.
Built-in value.
Yeah, DraftKings is generally priced correct, unless
something
happens. Whereas FanDuel just isn't. They're much slower to move. They don't react that fast. They leave players too high sometimes, and they leave players too low. Like I said, I mean, even FanDuel reacted to Kareem Hunt and finally dropped his price. But, I mean, a lot of times it would take them a couple extra weeks of lag to finally figure out, yeah, this guy's not a stud anymore. And, you know, it would lag. By the way, I like Lamar Miller, too. I'll take him for $6,600 if he's healthy. Why not? He's not sharing touches. $6,600. That's the kind of player that I'm going to use on FanDuel. I'll take him. I'll put Jamal Williams in there. I'll switch it up. Hyde, Miller. You don't always have to go with the cheap guy because there's so much value. So there's a lot of different ways to approach lineup construction. And even with those tight ends that we talked – did we finish talking about the games? Because I'm now going off on a tangent for a very long time.
We got – no, you did a good one, though.
We have one
more. You did a good one. I'm going to plug this when I pump it up, put it out on Twitter. I'm going to tell people to go to the Sunday Night Hammer game and listen to that 5 minutes of strategy that you just threw out there, because I think that's very, very important. If people don't listen all the way through the podcast, which some people probably don't, they're missing out. Yeah, we got Monday night left. That's the only game we got left. Unless you want to talk a little prime time, you know, throw that in there. Because I'm not interested in the Bengals as much on a full slate. I am interested in Le'Veon Bell. I'm interested in Antonio Brown. Big Ben has actually had some pretty good games. Don't know that I trust him in Cincinnati against Cincinnati with the other quarterbacks on the slate.
These guys do not play to high-scoring games. So, no, you know, of course not. If I'm getting involved with the prime time, I'm definitely more excited about Philly-Seattle.
Let me ask you this. Sounds like there's either been some Twitter or some news type stuff with Le'Veon Bell and Pittsburgh saying, you know, what the hell? Why am I not being used in the red zone? That sounds kind of like the situation where the coach goes, all right, just give it to him.
A little squeaky wheel action. I like it.
Sounds
like. Listen, from that game, if I play the full slate, I like A.J. Green. I like Antonio Brown every single time he ever plays. The Bengals don't have anybody who's really going to stop him. Although, I will say, and it's important to note, they have traditionally done well at limiting Antonio Brown through the years. They know about him. They know to double-team him. This is a division foe. So he's not coming out of nowhere. He's not going to surprise them. I definitely prefer Le'Veon Bell in this matchup, A, because since he can't stop the run, and B, because they know how to, or they've traditionally done a good job at slowing down or stopping Antonio Brown. I don't mind A.J. Green at all. He should do fine. Steelers don't have anybody who could really, really shut him down. And so, I mean, there's a couple good situations here. A couple of them. I have no problem with... I'm not playing Ben Roethlisberger on the main slate. I'm not playing Andy Dalton. I'm probably not playing either of them, even in the primetime slate, or very much of them. They'll be the least of my owned players compared to Wilson and
Let's take 5 minutes or so and do the primetime really quick just so people can get a feel for it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're looking at the primetime games, the Philly-Seattle game is much more exciting because, you know, if either of these games is probably going to play to the over, it's going to be that one. It's not division foes. They don't see each other all the time. So you don't have that familiarity that you do with the Steelers and the Bengals. And I think, we already mentioned the names. You've got Wentz, who I will have high exposure to, and Wilson, who I'll have high exposure to, and I'll kind of switch back and forth between those two. If I had to choose one, I'm going to go with Wilson, mainly because he's at home, even though I think the Philly defense may be better than the Seattle defense as a whole. I think the road game environment and the home field advantage for Seattle is really good. And then, I mean, you're going to be making decisions between Ertz and Graham. I mean, like, Ertz is going to be the chalk. There will be a motivation to take a ton of Ertz, but then you can be like, oh, shit, if I want to fit Le'Veon Bell in, I probably need to take the cheaper guy. So decisions to be made. I'll probably fade Antonio Brown in favor of Le'Veon Bell. That doesn't mean you don't take ownership of him, of Brown. And then we got to see who else is in play. So I think for the primetime, as an early sort of look at it, my basic lean is heavy exposure to Philly-Seattle, and then lighter exposure to the other game, but sort of locking in on a couple of players, certainly having lots of Le'Veon Bell exposure. Like, Seattle doesn't have a running back, so Philly doesn't have a running back. So, like, who are you going with? You're going with, like, Le'Veon Bell and J.D. McKissick, one of the Philly guys. You know, we don't know which one is going to do well. Man, I hate that Russian roulette game. Or Mixon, who's in a very brutal spot. But, yeah, I'll have some shares. You know, Philly's the worst. Four running backs? Really? Ajayi way overpriced every single week. Like, the guy's getting 8 carries a week. You're really going to charge me $7,000 for him, FanDuel? Seriously? And then, now I don't know what his salary is this week, but last week it was like $6,900, which I was like, that is a joke.
Oh, it's probably up there. Because it doesn't come down, like you said.
I've just been fading him. And like, he ends up getting like a big run and making value. It's very annoying.
Sure. Well, they talked about, I see that as two different things. Everybody fell for the trap, myself included, that first week when they said, we're going to start phasing him in, give him more. Well, they're not giving him any more touches, number one. Number two, that first week and that second week, I went ahead and took a GPP flyer on the guy. Sure, he makes value on the late run. And even though I saw that, I'm like, what, like 9 carries for 75 yards and a TD? I'm like, oh, fish move, man, fish move. Because that's not supposed to pay off. It's supposed to be like nine touches for 24 yards and nothing. You know, I mean, but whatever, it worked, so yeehaw. But I haven't gone back to that well, like, ever since.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's just, like you said, way overpriced. But that puts week 13 to bed, brother.
There we go. We got through another one. We're coming to the final stretch. Let's keep it going. And like I said, man, we got a competition going with that NBA crew. We got to step it up. 50,000 last week, big winner. Not let's do better. I mean, I don't know how much better you could do, but let's give it a shot this week.
Hey, and kick some ass. You solicited the help of the NHL guys, so we're gonna.
I think if we'll get the NHL back crew, over the top. It's like smashing people and toothless brutes in the NFL room, just like researching.
Angry,
like,
Canadians.
I didn't even know angry Canadian like bruisers were like, hey, what do you know about the Toronto Argonauts? And I'm like, wait a second.
Exactly.
What the fuck are we? Who? What? We're talking National Football League, guys. Come on. Whoa. All right. Don't make me do my Canadian accent. I'm not doing that. It sounds horrible.
I've heard Russian. I've heard Goodfellas. I've heard Game of Thrones.
Wait, what was I watching? There's a show called Z Nation, right? And which I like. It's on Sci-Fi. And about zombies. And they go to Canada. And there were these two, like, there was two characters, Canadian characters from back in the day. I don't know if it was Saturday Night Live. They're like, oh, hey, you're such a hoser. And basically those two characters pop up as zombies. And they're like, what do you want, you hoser? It was just the funniest scene. It's like, hey, look at this
Canadian
hoser.
Canadian zombies.
Like, but the hero guys were like calling them hosers. And you had to be in the know. And I was just hysterical last week.
You must be doing 100 kilometers an hour.
Yeah. Whoa. I'm going to kick your ass from A to Z.
grab some Labatt's on the way out.
Don't knock the Labatt's. Right. That's good beer.
Hell yeah.
That's good stuff.
Had some in my fridge until about a year ago when I drank them.
Nice. All right, my man. That's all it good. For this week.
Sounds great.
Let's take care. I will be back for DFS Army VIPs on Friday with my full Geeks Picks sheet. Broken down players by position, all the players I'll be using, and what type of contests, be it GPP or cash games. I will be back as well Friday evening with a special VIP exclusive podcast where I kind of break down the Geeks Pick sheets and kind of go a little more in depth. And then we'll, you know, Domination Station locked and loaded already, and we're going to be ready to kick some ass on Sunday.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, my man. See you next time.
You got it, buddy. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA. Weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game. Game.